my name's Hortensia. I'm calling because loneliness nowadays in America. I lost my husband 7 years ago, although I do have 3 adult children and I have 4 grandchildren. I'm still very lonely. Just seeing the world fall apart, all the people dying out in the streets with drugs and shootings, and everybody just disrespecting seniors and law enforcement. And I know that this is not what God wants. I just feel really, really lonely. I can't get out of it.
Sad way to begin a show today that we're going to spin quickly into a positive direction to help those of you that are feeling lonely today, struggling with loneliness today, to hear from those who are in that position, been through this, and tell you what they are doing intentionally to deal with loneliness in their life. If that's you, and you've made some progress, you've been doing some things that have helped you, or you have a question for me, give me a call. We're live. We're here in the studio. Intentional Living at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen, the rest of the team here, 888-888-1717. 60% of adults in the United States, according to one research study, report feeling alone, lonely. And what I found interesting is that young adults are twice as likely to feel lonely than seniors. Now, you would think it would be seniors. They're alone, the kids are gone, and of course, there's issues getting older and loneliness, but it's young adults. They've got TikTok, they've got all their social media, they've got all their online, quote, friends, and everything sort of going for them being young, and yet they're experiencing loneliness at twice the rate of those who are older, which is interesting because I saw a quote from Taylor Swift, speaking of loneliness, the great theologian here, right? But she made an interesting statement. She said, "I've never thought about songwriting as a weapon. I've only thought about it as a way to help me get through love and loss and sadness and loneliness and growing up in my life." Maybe that's one of the reasons when you see some of these pop stars and their music and so on, they're trying to reach people with their songs. And you know, when I think about what we do with the music of worship, pointing people to Christ, knowing that as a follower of Christ, you know, one of the great benefits of what we do through the music that you hear on the Christian radio station here is the fact that it helps you not feel quite so lonely. You've got a group of people who are with you in unity with the songs that you hear and are being blessed by it. And so we'd love to have you join in. How you've been dealing with loneliness in your life? 888-888-1717. You know, she started with her story about what's going on in the streets of America and around the world. And I don't think it's any secret, and the stats support it, that there's a great deal of anxiety and worry and fear with what's going on in the world today. Some of you may have turned on the news, for instance, just today, as I did to get caught up for the day, and saw that with the war going on in the Middle East, that the Israelis were able to take down the leader of the Hamas group that is causing so many problems and holding hostages and so on. And I heard, and as I listened to the news commentators, they talked about maybe this is a moment of peace. Maybe this is a moment that there's an opportunity for peace. And I was thinking of two scriptures. One was saying, there'll be talk of peace, but there'll be no peace in the world, you know, in the latter days. But then also that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as I was driving into the studio today, breathing that prayer, Lord, may you be lifted up in the midst of everything going on in the streets of America and around the world, in the Middle East, everything. May you be lifted up in some way that people will be drawn to you as the Prince of Peace to realize that peace only comes from you. Because you know what? We live in a world today where the stats are showing that loneliness and loss and fear and worry is huge. And so the question on this topic of loneliness is, how are you being intentional? How are you being intentional in your life in dealing with loneliness as a child of God? Give us a call. We want you to weigh in. We want you to help callers who are questioning, I don't know what to do next. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. Let's go to California first. Michelle, thank you for giving us a call here. Go right ahead.
This is Michelle. My experience with loneliness over the years is become an awareness that I can be lonely in a group of people, including my own family. It's a sense of disconnection. And so I'm not connecting with people's hearts and minds. I can feel lonely at work with a bunch of coworkers because of a lack of connection. And so being alone at home, I've been practicing sitting with that feeling when I feel it at home, getting home from work, being away from people. And I've come to realize that this lack of connection is also a lack of connection with God, His love that would fill me. And I think it's the human plight that causes everyone to do the negative behaviors that we've done to try to run from the pain of disconnection. And so I have compassion for everyone on the planet. We all struggled with this at some level. So I've learned to call friends and talk with them on a somewhat regular basis. I've learned to go online and listen to inspirational speakers, listen to Christian radio and other people talking so I don't feel so alone in my house when I am home. And of course, it's drawn me closer to the Lord than ever before because His love is the love I've been desperately seeking all my life. But I need to get it from my head, the intellectual knowing, to my heart, a really feeling of His love. So that's what's going to heal me. And it's a process. It's not an event. Having an intellectual knowing doesn't fix it. I have to practice conscious contact with God every day and practice focusing on the truth of His love every day so He can heal me with it. And then when I have that, then I have something to give to the rest of the world. So truly, I'm learning to love God. I'm learning to love myself. And then I'll actually have some true love to give to my neighbor as myself.
Listen, you're growing, Michelle, and you point out something. This disconnection, as you talk about, really goes back to the very, you know, the passage that I gave from the book of Genesis, where God, in His first act, when you think about it, to solve the first problem that resulted from His creation, this is in the perfection of the Garden of Eden, to solve the problem that resulted from that creation, it had to do with loneliness. Because it says in Genesis 2:18, he turns, as it were, to Adam and says, it's not good for you to be alone, Adam. That's what He said, it's not good for you to be alone. And He made Eve. And so God, in His infinite wisdom, even there in the Garden of Eden, recognized that loneliness can be a pervasive problem, a destructive problem. And yet, as we hear today, you can be lonely in a crowd. I find for myself, because I'm around people a lot and busy with things, when I'm alone, I'm not lonely necessarily. I kind of like being alone sometimes, just having a break, you know, think about things. As my wife says, you take out your yellow pad and I'm writing down ideas. That's what I do. I got yellow pads with all sorts of ideas. She said, what do you do with all those yellow pads? I just write them down, all these ideas. But you know, we can be lonely when we're with people. For me, sometimes it's just feeling sorry for myself. Because this is a pervasive problem, feeling lonely. And sometimes you can feel lonely with people because in my case, it might be I'm just feeling sorry for myself. You know, why isn't somebody taking care of me right now? Come on now. There's lots of things that can happen in our lives that can create the environment for us to wrestle with loneliness. All right, what do you do when you're feeling lonely? To be intentional, 888-888-1717. Let's go to Detroit. Hi, April. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Tell us, what do you do when you're feeling lonely? What helps?
So I pray, actually, and I spend a lot of time with my dog. And, you know, I grew up, I was a young mother, very young mother, and I had 7 children. So being alone was never an option, yeah. And I actually had a fear of being alone for a very, very long time. And then as the children got older, grew out of the household, I got divorced, and then I was in another long-term relationship, and he passed away. So I became very lonely, which led to an addiction. I've been sober today, 15 months. And
congratulations.
I found myself in the midst of all of this to just, the friends that I had, even though they were they were company. They weren't really fulfilling my life. So I found peace in knowing that God is always there and comforting. And being alone is actually very peaceful these days. Mm-hmm. You know, I love it when my children come over. Don't get me wrong. But I don't feel that lonely anymore like I used to when, you know, initially when the kids all left. And I felt like I needed to find a substitute for that. And I realized that the only substitute I needed was prayer. So.
April, talk about that a moment. You said you had some friends in your life. Sounds like they had an expiration date. You sort of, you don't hang around them. How has that helped you being selective with your friends?
Oh, wow. It's given me a peace and a comfort of just knowing that I'm worth so much more than what I allowed in my life in the past. I have a very select amount of people in my life today, and they actually have more meaning than the immense amount of people that I had in the past in my life. You know, you find out who your true friends are when you really try to live right, live by the word, and come clean and sober, in my instance. And it makes a difference. You know, I've had a friend, for example, that I've had on and off over the years in and out of addiction. And that particular individual just doesn't respect the boundaries that I've set forth now with my Christian lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a Christian my whole life, but never really purposeful Christian, I guess is what I would call it. And in this time in my life, this journey, I'm being more purposeful in my Christianity and going to church and being parts of, you know, study groups, Bible study groups, things
good
like that.
You.
And it's just making a huge difference. And, yeah.
Hey, how has the radio, is listening to the radio station there, 93.1, made a difference?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I listen to it every single day. My youngest has just turned 13, and he can't stand getting in my car because it's all I listen to. So, you know, it starts my day out right, you know, and I find, like, when I pull into work or if I'm having a hard day and I'm almost to work and I'm, like, so frustrated, like, just that right song comes on and I just,
right.
I clock in, sit in my car, worship, and then go in, and it makes it so much easier to just start the day out. Yeah.
That's fantastic, and you can tell your 13-year-old he'll be better off for it later on. Suck it up and enjoy it, right? It's there in the back seat. Good for you, Ann. Listen, you know, it's interesting. Ann said she has seven kids. April. April said she had seven kids. And the stats I thought were interesting. 65% of parents and guardians are classified as lonely, which is 10 points higher than non-parents. So just having a bunch of kids doesn't mean you're not going to be lonely. In fact, you're probably going to feel more lonely because you have a lot of the kids and a lot of responsibility, and maybe there's not enough time to communicate or connect or whatever. But, and so it's just, again, not just being around people that's the issue. It's a decision of, well, you're going to hear this, I think, this half hour, and then tomorrow going to continue on, is this thing of serving others, getting outside of ourselves and really investing into the lives of other people. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and I will be back to you. What do you do if you're feeling lonely because there's been a break in a relationship with someone that maybe you care for and you don't know what to do? We'll talk about it.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health, or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com.
That's theintentionallife.com.
I hope you'll do that. Thank you, Kurt, for the reminder. And we've had so many folks who have recently joined us. They've said, hey, I want to be a part of intentional living. And I just want to say a huge thank you for stepping up and making that kind of a commitment to say, hey, I want to be a part of the ministry and support the ministry. Alisa has done this from Levine, Arizona, joined us as a monthly member. Thank you. Robert from Tucson joined us monthly. Ramos has joined us monthly from Santa Fe, New Mexico, as did Maria in Santa Fe. Albuquerque, we heard from. Susan, thank you for joining monthly. Casey from Georgia has become a monthly member. And then Flora from Albuquerque. So we've heard several from New Mexico. That's fantastic. Thank you for joining in, being a part of the ministry. We make sure you get access to all of our teaching. But mostly you're making a difference in helping us get this intentional living message into the hearts of people. You heard just a moment ago when I was talking to April, she was saying she's getting more purposeful in getting to church, more purposeful in growing her faith. We simply use the word intentional. That's what it is. I mean, that's really what we believe. Intention is something more than just a goal. It's a motivating force that says that's my aim, that's my purpose, and that's why I'm here. And when we get intentional about these things, it makes a huge, huge difference. All right, back to the calls. Ann is on the line. Hi, Ann. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go right ahead.
Okay. I had to kind of laugh with the girl that said her daughter rolls her eyes when she has a family life radio on. I've been listening to you for 30 years. I had three little girls sitting in the back seat and going, oh, here we go again.
It turned out okay, though, didn't it?
Thank you. Perfect. They're beautiful young women and have beautiful families. And I learned so much from you, Randy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
My question today is, I feel really lonely and hurt deeply. I have a beautiful granddaughter who has helped me so much, but I said something, and I feel so deeply lonely and disconnected because I didn't mean it all to come out at once, but I was trying to tell her that to help my great-granddaughter, who is 12 and going through her teenage moments, that she needs to pray more. And that started a whole battle.
Mm. So this is your granddaughter, who's the mother of your 12-year-old great-granddaughter?
Yes.
Okay. And so you were trying to be helpful and saying, hey, you need to pray more for your daughter and so on, and she took it as an offense?
Yes, that I was interfering in her life.
Yeah.
And I apologized, and I told her peer pressure is going to overtake your little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do more things in church with her, but, you know, go to youth group and things like this. But she didn't take that very kindly at all.
Now, how would her mother have responded to what you did?
Yes, my daughter is her mother.
Mm-hmm.
She would have told her, my daughter might have said, just leave her alone because she can't get through to her either. So I don't know. Maybe my daughter would say that. I haven't called her to talk to her about
mm-hmm.
it.
How long ago did this happen, Ann?
About 3 days ago.
Okay. Time is helpful. Maybe you struck the, you know what? It's possible, Ann, that you struck the very nerve that needed to be struck in her life. And instead of accepting it as wisdom from her great-grandma, she took it as an offense, as something personal, Because I have found sometimes when we really protest, when someone says something to us, it's because they've struck a nerve. And so maybe what you're saying is true, and maybe what you're saying needed to be said, but maybe the way you said it wasn't as great finesse as it could have been.
Well, I am very careful with her because she's a lovely young woman, and I'm real careful how I word things because it's like walking on eggshells.
Mm-hmm. This is the way she is in all things, though. What you're saying is, and you implied it, that her mom says, I just leave her alone because she feels like she's walking on eggshells, and you feel like you're walking on eggshells. And I'll tell you, I've been around long enough dealing with people that this is a really important concept in relationships. The weakest person in a relationship, I want to say it again because this is important. I don't mean physically weak. I'm talking about people who are spiritually or emotionally the weakest. You know, they're fragile. You're walking on eggshells. Whenever I hear that, I think of this. The weakest person in a relationship will always control that relationship because you are walking on eggshells with them. And you sound like a sweetheart, and you're just precious. You love these kids and grandkids, and you want to be the kind of supportive family member as you can as a grandma and great-grandma. And so you're vulnerable to once in a while cracking an egg. Eggshells get cracked when people have soft shells, right? And so that doesn't take away your pain, but I'm just expressing, I think what's going on is that you're granddaughter, maybe someone finally said something that she's got to wrestle with, and you spoke the truth to her. So here's my encouragement to you, Ann. Express as you have to your granddaughter, I love you. I am so sorry that if what I said you found offensive, that was not my intention. You know my intention is I love you and I want the best for you. And I hope you'll forgive me for that. But then I would press on. I wouldn't allow her to control your emotions or allow her to control how you feel about yourself or your day or what you've done. Because if you keep in your mind that the weakest person always controls the relationship, that gives you some freedom in knowing that no matter how gentle you are, sometimes an eggshell can get cracked.
There's another response to pain, and it's to deny that you're in pain. Jim Carrey, the comedian, made the statement, my focus is to forget the pain of life. Forget the pain, mock the pain, reduce it, and laugh. I think sometimes as Christians, we put our Christian bubble around ourselves and we say things like, you know, as a Christian, I shouldn't have pain. Or I don't have time for pain. Or I'm just simply going to ignore it and it'll go away. Unrecognized and unaccepted pain tends to compound with very negative results over time. Ignoring the pain of loss is no less harmful than ignoring the pain of a cancerous tumor. Both will only grow until you have no choice but to deal with them, and unfortunately, sometimes the solution comes too late.
You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month on the problem and the solution of pain, the purpose of pain, and many of you have been listening to it. I think it's rich with content to encourage those of you who are experiencing emotional, physical, relational pain. It's up on our site for our members. Come and join us. Be a part of the journey like those I've mentioned a moment ago as you call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, or you go to theintentionallife.com and God bless you. Thank you for your support. All right, Mary, how are you today?
I'm doing really well, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you for your call. Do you ever experience loneliness?
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm 67. I live in a mental health community, and it gets very lonely. But I found a way to break that power over my life and possibly over other people's. I live a couple of blocks from a Dollar Tree. I walk myself down there. I go down there. I put together gift bags for people, and I walk myself back, and I hand them out.
Huh.
I break that power. I try to break that power over their life and over mine to let them know that they're not alone, that I'm not alone, and to let myself know that I'm not alone. And, yeah, that's what I do. I'm very purposeful about it, and I do show them that I care.
That's right. Change the word, though. You're very intentional. You're purposeful, but you're very intentional as well. You walk yourself down, you get the bag, they fill the bag, and you go back and you pass them out to people. And that is the definition of being intentional. And you know what? You bring glory to God, you bring benefit to those that you care about, and also to yourself. How does it change your attitude, your mind, your feelings after a day like that?
It gets my mind off myself, onto those around me, to be considerate and to be thoughtful. It helps. It helps.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, that's just human nature. You know, the Bible says to us, well, it's God's nature in us. You know, God tells us, don't think only of your own interest, but also the interest of others. He must have known there's a benefit to that, not only for that person who has a need, but also for yourself. You know, we've seen these giant storms that have ravaged many of our listening areas, especially up the east coast of the United States through Florida and Georgia and North Carolina and Tennessee and so on, and South Carolina. And one of the things I've noticed when I've turned on and watched the news is how the community is helping the community, people helping people, and how much people are surprised they're being helped. And yet here's the community they lived with for years, and now they're coming out and they're helping each other, and how everybody's feeling supportive and loved and encouraged. What a positive thing when we get outside of ourselves and think not only of our own interests, but also the interest of others. Very powerful. All right, we just scratched the surface on this problem of loneliness and the potential for healing through it. So let's do it again tomorrow. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to leave the phone line open right now. I want to get you in and get you recorded. Tell us your story so I can slide them into the show tomorrow, okay? But you got to call now, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. You know, David said in Psalm 25, turn me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged, bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my troubles and forgive all my sins. David had loneliness too, and he turned to God. Good thing to do. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We'll see you tomorrow from Intentional Life Media.